And you'll find that on your order of service. And it is a hymn 304 in our book. But in your order of service, we are never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong. Glory to God, Hallelujah. We're going to stand and worship the Lord during this hymn. And during this hymn, we're going to ask the following brethren to come into the pulpit. The Reverend Roy Stewart, the Reverend John Gray, Dr. Lindsay Wilson, Reverend David Stewart and Mr. Calvin Stripp, if they would make their way during this hymn into the pulpit as we sing 304. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Seated. We'll just announce our next few items and then let them flow. We're going to ask our brother, the Reverend Roy Stewart, to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, ask for Lord's blessing upon this service tonight, and then immediately after that, the Reverend John Gray and then Dr. Lindsay Wilson are both going to address the congregation. The Reverend Stewart.
Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that we can come to thee and seek thy face and call upon thy name. We rejoice, Lord, in so great salvation. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. He has given us a new song to sing, even praise unto our God, because of the grand redemption he accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. We do thank you, Lord, for this occasion tonight. We thank thee for thy grace to our brother Mr. McRae, for saving him, for keeping him, for calling him, for using him, to bring honour and glory to thy great and thy wonderful name. How we rejoice, Lord, in thy grace. That grace that lifted many of us in this house tonight. But we were wandering far from thee, and no time for thee. We thank thee for the grace that saved us. And give us, Lord, the sight of the Saviour, and our need of him. And thank God when we call, you didn't shun us because of our sinfulness. You didn't turn away from us. We thank you, Lord, you kept your word, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're glad we're saved. And glad we know thee. And we think of Mr. McRae tonight, that you'll bless him as he, Lord, comes to the end of his ministry in this house. And Lord, we pray you'll give him more opportunities to serve thee in the days to come. Bring him much of the blessing of the Lord. And the church here will go forward in thy name, knowing thy smile and favour and blessing. We look to thee, Lord, you'll bless us in these days. How we need reviving. How we need the work of God to be revived and blessed. And we look to the God alone who can revive his kirk. That thou wilt come and do it, Lord. In the days in which we live, let us see thee working again mightily and bringing many to our Lord Jesus Christ. So be with us tonight. Bless all who take part tonight. Bless, Lord, especially the preaching of thy word. Let it be with power and with grace and much assurance. We look to thee that you'll hear us and bless us and answer prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. Mr. McKee said I had 3 minutes to speak tonight. How can you speak in 3 minutes, brother, being a preacher? Well, I just want to say congratulations to our brother for getting to this stage in his life, that we're still here. And I was the nearest minister, Mr. McRae, for over 30 years. And I've known him now over 40 years. And the good times and the hard times and difficult times in the ministry. And I was thinking of a verse of scripture that came to my mind. It's in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2 and the verse 4. And it says, but as we were allowed of God, we put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God that trieth our hearts. In my other life, when a young man, I used to travel the world. And plenty of money in those days. I wasn't married. And it was good. But I went to a church one day in England. I was working in England for a while. I went to this big Baptist church. And there was about a dozen people there. A dozen too many. The pastor, he was brought up in the evangelical faith. But he had come to a higher knowledge of faith. In other words, he left the word of God, departed from it. Well, I'm glad tonight that I'm here speaking to about a man, not coming tongue-in-cheek, trying to make some excuse for a man who's left the word of God. And why these men want to turn to the mind of man and leave the mind of God revealed in the scriptures. And thank God's a man here who's still preaching the gospel, still preaching the word. He hasn't changed. And thank God in the future he'll still be preaching the gospel. And remember, brother, when you and I get old, we're not old yet, when you and I get old, still the promise is we'll bring forth fruit in old age. And I trust that will be so with much in the days to come. The Lord bless you, brother, and the work here in Mockrafelt. 3 minutes?
Well, he only told me that I had 2 minutes. So that's a bit of a compromise. It is a great privilege to be here this evening at this special service. And I've been asked just to say a few words very, very briefly on behalf of the students, student ministers who have come to help throughout the years here in Mockrafelt. It's a wonder that the place is still standing after some of us boys have been around the place. But Mr. McRae, on behalf of all the students who were given the privilege of working with you in this church, I want first of all to thank you and the session of the church here for the opportunity that you give to us to serve the Lord in the early years before we entered into the ministry. I believe the valuable experience that we gained working alongside Mr. McRae, I believe has stood by us right to this very, very day. And we look back with very fond memories of those days. There are a few stories I could tell tonight, but they'd probably embarrass me more than Mr. McRae, so I'll just leave them to the one side. But it's amazing that the church is still standing here after some of us boys were here in the congregation. We really did appreciate the opportunity that we were given to work alongside our brother. We learned so much, and going in and out of the congregation here, it was a real privilege for us. And we do pray that in the days that lie ahead, that the Lord will continue to bless the congregation here. Dr. McRae, on behalf of the students who served under you, we wish you God's richest blessing, you and Mrs. McRae, in the days that lie ahead. And we do pray that the Lord will continue to use you to win many precious souls to Christ. We do thank the Lord for your ministry. We thank the Lord for the way that the Lord has used you, the way that the Lord is using you, and the way that the Lord will continue to use you in the days that lie ahead. There's just one verse, it's concerning Tychicus, and this is what it says in Colossians 4, verse 7. And I believe we can say this of Mr. McRae: you're a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. May God bless you richly. Amen.
Well, apparently I was given 5 minutes. But then, of course, I'm bigger than the rest. They'll be afraid to argue with me. I've been asked to speak on behalf of those who were licentiate assistants in this church. And like John, I have to say it was a great privilege. I remember as a student, and I saw many come here, and they were given the privilege of being the assistant here. And maybe it was wrong being a student in a theological college. I was jealous, honestly jealous. And I used to think to myself, you know, those things happen to those boys, but it'll never happen to me. Yet there was a harvest service in Tandragee, and Reverend Allen came in afterwards, and he called me and said, Mr. McRae wants to speak to you. And I've known this man for 40 years, at least, or maybe more. And he asked me, would I be his student assistant for 2 years? I usually only get one, and that was brilliant. But then as I came to the end and was licensed, then he came back and said, we'd like you to come as a full-time assistant. So that was wonderful. Really enjoyed the time here, and this was very much home in the 4 years. 2 years as a student, just a day a week, when I got to know so many of you, and then for 4 years full-time. Lord really blessed. This man was a great teacher. He would take me aside and he would say to me, this is the way you need to do this, and this is the way you need to do that. In a way, licentiate was a charmed life. You made all the mistakes and he took the blame. But you know, it gave many of us a great opportunity to find our feet in the ministry. And I thank the Lord for every encouragement that he was to me, and every bit of guidance that he gave. And he's still a good friend. 2 things impressed me about this man. One was his passion for souls. Obvious in his life. But as I sat here, as he preached for 4 years, I led the service and he preached, I saw the man on his knees and in tears as he got up to preach the gospel. Passion for souls. And he had pointed preaching. And that's something that's a rare commodity in these days, and sadly so. He had the ability to take the gospel and he would rub it in and rub it in until nobody could say it doesn't apply to me. I learned a lot from that, and I have tried as best I can to use that experience of taking the gospel and applying it to hearts, not just over someone's head. That the gospel, people need the gospel. He preached, you need the gospel. And that was a great blessing to me and a great teaching experience. But a passion for souls and pointed preaching only comes when there's a passion for Christ. Somebody said what this world needs and what preachers need is a passion for souls. And somebody said, no, what they need is a passion for Christ. And all these other things will flow from it. This man has a passion for Christ. Obvious in his life working along with him, and that's how it happens. That's how this ministry and this church was built up, because this man loves the Lord, and it is obvious to all. Those of us who have been his assistant over these years have been greatly blessed, and we really appreciate the privilege, and we value that time. And as you have come to the end in Maherfelt, what I want to say to you is your confinement to the shores of Maherfelt is not so much now. Now the world has opened up for your ministry to continue. And we pray that wherever the Lord gives you opportunity, that the Lord will continue to pour his Spirit out upon you, and that you'll know the Lord's blessing in the days that lie ahead.
We thank our brethren for bringing those messages this evening. And certainly, as you know, the Reverend McCrae has been used mightily by the Lord in song, and certainly his love for singing has brushed off in this congregation as well. And there's several groups going to take part tonight in song. First of all, our youth choir are going to come along just right now to the front. And as they come, I'll explain what's happening over the next few moments. The youth choir are going to sing a piece, Lift Up the Cross. And then immediately after that, our brother, the Reverend David Stewart from Port Glenone, is going to come and speak. And then Mr. Calvin Stripp, a long-time friend of the McCrae family, is coming to bring some greetings. And then immediately after that, we're going to have another group of young men singing who have either been through the college or are in the college from the congregation here in Maherfelt. And unfortunately, not all of them can be here tonight, but there'll be some of them here to sing immediately after that. So the youth choir, then our brother Reverend Stewart, and then Mr. Calvin Stripp.
Of the time of conception. Well, let me begin by saying how honoured I am to be able to be given the opportunity to speak just a little word at this retirement service for the Reverend McCrae, my minister and pastor for 32 years before I went to Bible college. Now, I've been given no time at all. No one ever told me about any time, so I'm just going to take as long as I need to take for this evening. My task is to say a few words from the perspective of those men who have gone through the Whitfield College of the Bible in recent years. Now, the first man to bite the bullet and to don the petrol blue uniform and to enter the Whitfield College of the Bible of my generation was now and is now the minister of this congregation, the Reverend Ryan McKee. I then quickly followed soon after that, and then the Reverend McCrae's own son, Stephen, followed. And then after Stephen, he was joined by Andrew Simpson, and then by Andrew Stewart, and now by Mr. Stephen Crawford. And that means in the Whitfield College of the Bible, over the last 10 years, there has been a student every year from Macrofelt in the Bible College over the last 10 years. I hasten to add that over that period of time, the college has seen three principals: Dr. Douglas, the Reverend Ferguson, and the Reverend Nelson. Now, whether the Macrofelt presence at Bible College has any bearing on that, I do not know, especially with such a considerable turnover of personnel, but you would have to ask the academic board concerning that. I can say that no student that came from Macrofelt, a Free Presbyterian Church, ever entered the Bible College without the full backing and the full support of the Reverend McCrae. I believe that it brought him great joy and satisfaction to see young men raised up from the congregation to go forward into the preaching ministry. Financially, each student was supported, and that was down to the generosity of the Reverend McCrae and also of the congregation here. I believe that that support most likely stemmed from the hardships that he experienced whenever he first went to Bible College. Money wasn't ready, available, and I know that his parents would have supported him as he entered the ministry. And I believe that he learned from that, and he resolved that no man from this congregation would ever have to go through the financial strains and the stresses that he had to go through as a young man. And we thank God for him. Mr. McCrae has furnished each of us who are only beginning our preaching and pastoral ministries with an example of godliness and with evangelistic zeal that is second to none when it comes to the ministry. I believe that it was the late Dr. Colin Packham of the Faith Mission who said that they should come to Northern Ireland and hear two men. First of all, Pastor Maxwell, and then Pastor McCrae, to hear them preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, C.H. Spurgeon, he wrote a book, An All-Round Ministry. And I could say that Mr. McCrae has been given such a ministry. He has been given an all-round ministry. And he causes ministers to be jealous, because we are only good at one or two things. But he is good at everything. Everything. He can sing, he can play, he can teach, he can pastor. But the Reverend McCrae excels in one sphere, and that is in gospel preaching. Put him into any age group, and he can preach in a relevant and in a practical way. He can preach to men, he can preach to children, he can preach to young people. He can even go into the lion's den of a ladies' meeting and come out the other end unscathed. And I tell you, that's a miracle. And I don't say anything about the ladies here in Macrofelt and not calling you lions, because we all have to be fed. As I thought about tonight, I thought and asked myself the question, what has enabled the Reverend McCrae to have a faithful and fruitful ministry over such a long period of time? I'm in Port Alone 5 years, and I'm only a tenth of the way through what he has achieved. But I believe there are a number of things. Firstly, he has had a supportive wife beside him. No minister, no matter how talented or gifted they are, can sustain a faithful ministry without the supportive helpmeet standing alongside them. Reverend McCrae has got such a wife. Only God knows the sacrifices that Mrs. McCrae has had to make over the last 50 years. And tonight, Mrs. McCrae, we honour you as much as we honour the man beside you. Secondly, he has had a strong family around him. Reverend McCrae has been blessed with a family who have supported him in the ministry. A godly father, a praying mother, siblings, sons and daughters. We'll never know, and this congregation will never know, how many birthday celebrations were missed, how many day trips were postponed, how many holidays were interrupted because of some sickness or death in the congregation. Personally, I know that the man before me postponed his own holiday in order that he would marry myself to my wife. I knew he did that because that's the type of man that he is, a selfless man. And great have been the sacrifices of the Reverend McCrae's family. And tonight you get your daddy back, and I trust that the Lord will bless you as a family. Thirdly, a serving congregation behind him. The Reverend McCrae would be the first to admit this, but God gave him good workers who served alongside him over the last 50 years. Elders, committee men, Sunday school superintendents, Sunday school and Bible class teachers, organists, children's and tots workers, youth leaders, catering staff, media team members, caretakers, bus drivers, open-air members, outreach workers, missionary council representatives, women's meeting leaders, senior citizens workers. Those are, I think, all of the ministries. I may be corrected. Though he spearheaded the work, a serving congregation assisted him in seeing God's work advance here on Mullaboy Hill. A supportive wife beside him, a strong family around him, a serving congregation behind him, but most importantly, a sustaining God in him. God has sustained him. Having obtained help from God, he continued to this day. God and God alone has sustained our friend and our brother over the last 50 years. God equipped him. God endued him. God empowered him and gave him a faithful and fruitful ministry. And to God we give the glory, because it is only by the grace of God that he is what he is. As I communicated to the Reverend McCrae on the morning that he was going to announce his retirement to the congregation, it's not retirement. It's simply redeployment. Simply redeployment. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God bless you, Reverend McCrae, as you enter a new chapter in your life.
Thank you.
Well, it is a blessing to be in attendance tonight. I'm sure you would all agree at this farewell service, and a privilege to be asked to take part. I bring Christian greetings to you, brother, from our church and from Brother Ravi tonight. We as a family have been blessed since we moved to Macrofelt back in mid-2015. We were blessed by your continual prayer support and your encouragement, and we, as a family, we thank you in the Saviour's name. And we know of others like ourselves who have been blessed, who have been encouraged over many years. And on behalf of them also, dear brother, I thank you. The words of Philippians 1 and 3 come to mind. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And also for the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I also bring greetings tonight from my father and my mother, who, God willing, are watching via webcast. And you see, my acquaintance with the Reverend McCrae just didn't commence back in mid-2015. As a young boy, I have recollection of attending many, many praise services all over the province together with the UK, helping where I could, probably not much bigger or older than my oldest son, and seeking to help where I could the sound team. And that sound team comprised of Mr. Graham Strong, my father, together with others. I can vividly remember being blessed by our brother's singing, together with those challenges that he left in those praise services. And I'm sure many can also remember that also tonight. I vividly remember, too, as a young, troubled teenager, traversing through a troubled time in my life. And although just the son of a member of the sound team, the Reverend McCrae noticed that, and he drew alongside. He drew alongside like Barnabas. And to that troubled teenager, he comforted me and he encouraged me. And I have never forgotten that, brother. And maybe you're here tonight and you can also testify of that. That Mr. McCrae drew near to you in a time that was dark and troubled, and encouraged you and comforted you. So on behalf of you tonight, I thank the Reverend McCrae also. So as your ministry brother has commenced another chapter, and my dear brother Stuart explained that very well. As it has commenced another chapter, I say with the words of Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord continue to use you. And in the year that's in front, brother, you drop in for a cup of coffee. And maybe a curry. The Lord bless you. This is my prayer. Thank you.
We're turning to our hymn sheets once again, our orders of service, and we're turning to the second hymn, which is hymn 313. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. During the final verse of this hymn, we're going to ask our men's choir to come along, and they're going to minister to us in song. And then immediately after that, our brother Stephen McRae, Reverend Stephen McRae, is coming up to read God's precious and holy word. And we'd ask Dr. Douglas and Dr. Johnson to come up during this hymn as well, for they're taking part immediately after that. So we'll stand and worship the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you. Before I bring a reading to your attention this evening, I just want to say it is a tremendous privilege for us to be here and also to bring the reading of God's Word to us. One thing I want to say before I start is, firstly, along with David Stewart, I didn't get no time either. I checked the men behind, they have given times. I think it's because the younger men aren't thought of being more long-winded. Maybe that isn't the case, but maybe that might be a thought. But it's good to be able to share with you a few memories of my own self. I do thank the Lord for a faithful minister. As a few weeks ago, I was alongside some in this congregation at a youth night I was speaking in, and someone said these words to me. He says, "Your dad is often talked about as being an evangelist, which he is, and we thank the Lord for the evangelist ministry he has. But also, there's not much talked about his teaching ministry and how they were blessed through Joseph, Ruth, and Joshua, even though past a number of years. And those things I can say I was truly blessed of, and also in our home. I often do remember times when we read the Bible together and sought the Lord. It is a joy to be able to know that you're in a house where someone preaches the Word, but also lives the Word as well. And we're thankful for my mum and dad. I know they're retiring, but there's much work for them to do, but we thank the Lord for each one of our family, knowing that when we had needed to turn to a godly person in our home, we could turn to our mum and to her dad. I know often I'm still on the phone ringing him. Whenever something comes up on my side, the first person I get is my dad. If he can't help me, Ron Johnson does. So I often get on the phone calls. We do get much help. So I want to thank my dad for his faithfulness, for his ministry, and for his home ministry, because it is important that when a minister of the gospel is at home, they are a preacher in a home and also a father in that home. Well, thank the Lord for you. And just let me say one more thing before we come to our reading. I do remember a time whenever we were on holidays, we read the Bible together, as we often did. We began to read, and that night we started to pray. One after another, we were praying. My sister Faith, if she's listening, she'll know this. She started to pray too long, according to Ian. And Ian gave her a nudge in the arm. She said, "Amen," straight away. But after a few tears, she had to get started up and finish praying. She forgot to pray for her Aunt Lizzie and for others too. But I do thank the Lord again for Dad and for Mum and for their faithfulness to us. And I know the Lord was much in our home. He was a help to me in the ministry as well. If I could just leave a verse of scripture with my dad, if he could take it for himself. Something I was reading this for the last few weeks, and it's just in the words of Judges chapter 4, and it's the middle of verse 14. It says, "Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" And I pray that is the case, that the Lord does go before him, and the Lord will strengthen him and strengthen mum this time. "Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" We're going to come to our reading of scriptures this evening. It is Matthew chapter 25, We're going to read from the verse 14 of this chapter, Matthew chapter 25, and a familiar portion of Scripture. And as I was reading this again, whenever the moderator gave it to me, it was a joy to read the words of the Word of God here. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll read from the verse number 14. It's lovely to hear the passage of Scripture being turned to in the flick of the pages. Verse 14 of Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway they took his journey. And he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had 2 had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that receiveth 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that hath received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word for his wonderful name's sake.
Well, I'm very pleased to be here tonight because my associations with Mr. McCrae and Mrs. McCrae as well go back a long way. Like many here tonight, I come recognizing that this is a big occasion, for we have mixed feelings. On one hand, we look back with lingering memories, and we're thankful to the Lord for the memories we have. And then, on the other hand, there's joy, because we're celebrating 50 years of gospel ministry. 50 years, as we've learned tonight, evangelistic preaching. And God has used his servant up and down the country, and even further afield if we talk about other countries as well. So in some sense, the ministry here has gone away beyond the neighborhood, reaching out into the uttermost part of the earth. What I've said tonight, well, my memories go back quite a way, because I was acting clerk of presbytery the night Mr. McCrae came in as student. And, well, his photograph appears in the book that has been published here. You know, those very dark, horn-rimmed spectacles really distinguished him, and a shock of brown hair. Bit of a change tonight, but a shock of brown hair. And he came in as a student for our ministry, and that marked the beginning of things. And what a day that was. And of course, at that time, I was minister at Money Slane. I have to introduce matters about that congregation, very, very important to Mr. McCrae. In fact, I was minister there in Money Slane, and among my friends, I may say my personal friends, I can number the members of the McKnight family. I would have stayed there overnight, oh, many and many a time, every week. I would need, if Mrs. McCrae will allow me to call her by a Christian name. In fact, I practically lived in the house, and I enjoyed Mrs. McKnight could make this lovely vegetable broth. Do you remember that? And it just seemed that was always ready, and I was there to hand. So we had great fun in the family because it come there maybe after meetings, perhaps after some missions that I was conducting as well. It'd be gathering there and a lot of fun in the family. We were all young then. And then a young man came in. And of course, Mr. McCrae had been a bit unwell, was recuperating in the Kilkeel area, not very far from Moneyslayon. All of a sudden, he started visiting as well. It was easy for me to make the quick connection. And after a little while, as that romance blossomed and progressed, it came the time for the wedding. And I not only had a part then as acting clerk of presbytery that night, you were received in as a student for the ministry, but I also had a part in a very important occasion. And that was tying the knot. And I'm probably the only one left out of those who took part that day. So we have precious memories that bring us together more ways than one. We have been in the meetings together, obviously, and shared services together at prayer times. We have all that behind us. But then there are those personal details. And when the knot was tied that day, it was tied well, wasn't it? And we're thankful for that. And now, as you come to this stage in your life and ministry, both of you really, it's a new phase in your ministry. You trusted the Lord. That night when you were introduced to the presbytery, came in just as a young fellow, you trusted the Lord that night, way back then. And you can see how the Lord has led you on, how he's been with you unfailingly. And now, at this point in life, you take this step. You're going to trust the Lord just the same, both of you, the way you did back then. I have said to the Lord myself, with reference to my years, I've had to say, Lord, I've never passed this way before. And therefore, I'm asking you to be present with me, to be alongside of me. And for both of you tonight, we pray that God's richest blessing will be upon you. And there will be a new ministry. You'll be surprised at how many doors, and many different doors too, the Lord will open. And because the Lord who has called you to the work, who has been with you all these years through thick and thin, is still going to be with you in the same way. And I would remind you of all the missions you've done, how God has blessed your ministry, and those souls who have come to the Lord. Here is this great word from the book of Daniel 12:3. They that be wise, men and women, we're talking about eternity here, about being wise for eternity. Wise in the sight of God. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? And you can look forward, my dear brother, to the soul winner's crown as well as the crown of righteousness and the crown of glory. And that great day. And you have Isaiah 41:10. I have only a limited time too, so I'll give Mr. Johnson an opportunity here. But I'll tell you this, Isaiah 41:10. I am the Lord. I will help you. And every step of the way, even if you feel it's a testing step, I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Praise the Lord.
Well, I was asked to bring some personal reminiscences for over the years. Could I first of all bring you greetings? Mr. and Mrs. McCrae, on behalf of Dr. Paul Ferguson from Singapore, telephone me today, and your friends in Australia, where you've preached as well. My memories go back to the eventful year 1966, just after Dr. Paisley got out of prison. And this young country lad appeared in the big city of Belfast and started in the Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. I wondered who he was, what he was like. Now, I was very young. I was a year younger, by the way, on the exact same birthday. Sometimes Mr. McCrae's memory goes a bit and he tries to say he's a year younger, but I'm a year younger, I assure you. But I didn't know him at that time. We just knew him leading a few meetings. He had arrived. But my first main recollection of him is the 1967 Easter Convention, because he stood up in the Ulster Hall and he sang, "I heard an old, old story, how the Saviour came from glory. Oh, victory in Jesus." I'd never heard that hymn before. I don't think many had. But there was something different about the way he sung it. There was an evident anointing of the Lord. And there was quite evidence that that young man in his late teens, me younger, but I could tell too that he was singing from the heart. And that became, I suppose, a theme hymn that he sang. I remember one that he also sang, "Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day." Now, my wife seems to remember that you tried to teach the Sunday school teachers that. I don't know, we weren't as good as the Macrofelt young people singing. But those two hymns to me and those first reminiscences encapsulate the character of the Reverend McCrae that I've known over these, 50 plus years. Because those two hymns describe the gospel. And the Reverend William McCrae has a zeal, a tenderness and a faithfulness to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what stood out for me is not simply his zeal and his faithfulness. It's already been referred to, but his graciousness and his tenderness. And there's one service I remember in the middle 1980s. It was actually an orange service on a Sunday afternoon before the 12th, and there were hundreds and hundreds of Belfast. I'm from Belfast, so I'll not say too much, but Belfast, orange men, bands women. And I was sitting behind Dr. McCrae, and he was faithful. And I remember him saying to those men, "Don't you have this sin on you of leading your sons into a public house and leading them into drink?" And I would look down, I could see the men's reaction. But you know, there was no anger among them. Did you know why? I believe the two hymns I've referred to sum up Mr. McCrae's preaching. They knew, while it may have cut them, of course it did, they knew the man who was preaching to them wasn't preaching at them, but that he had a love for them. And he was expressing those truths because he cared for them. And that's been a characteristic of the Reverend McCrae's ministry, I believe, down through the years. There's a form of preaching that's harsh, that's critical, that's unloving, that speaks down at people. There's some can preach on hell in a cold, clinical, professional type of way. It says at Whitfield that he never preached on hell without a tear in his eye. And from I've known him those many years ago, I know that in gospel meetings, that there is that sense of the Lord's anointing upon him where it comes across clearly when he preaches on hell that he does it with a tear in his heart. And that's only the Lord has given him that Calvary love. But it's not confined to the pulpit. I've had opportunities, yes, way back, even in the late 60s, when of course major things were happening in our province. I've had the opportunity to see him with maybe, as we say in Belfast, some wee woman in a back street on the Shankill Road in trouble, weeping. And William McCrae, though still a young man, able to go next to that lady or man and minister comfort to them. You stand back in amazement and see how the Lord used him in those situations. Yet he's able to be the same, whether in a gypsy tent, as the song was, or whether among the great and the good in the land. And what a great gift that is. I think of his zeal. I referred at the dinner in 1968. I remember Saturday night We'd been out at various functions, open air. Sometimes we went on a Saturday down in Royal Avenue. That was, we could tell you all night about those stories. Everybody wasn't pleased with us selling Protestant telegraphs and having an open air in the bank buildings. But then it was fish and chips somewhere, then to the coal men's mission. And about 10 o'clock at night, Mr. McRae would say, "Let's just get in the car and we'll take a drive up to Macrofell to look at the tent. And we'll have a word of prayer," because the mission was going on then at the beginning of Macrofell. So 10 o'clock, half 10, off you would set. There was no M2 in those days. Back in the early hours of the morning to preach in Sandown, then back up for the afternoon mission. That was the Reverend McRae, full of zeal. I suppose thinking of a few more humorous ones, I remember the week of prayer in the early 80s. We stayed in the CEF. I think it was four or six of us in a room. I remember Reverend Greenfield was there, and there were bunk beds. I had the misfortune to have Reverend McRae above me. Because your minister for the years doesn't know what night's about. He doesn't realise, listen, night is for sleeping. And those years there wasn't much sleep, although some people had a room of their own. But of course when you're principal and organising it, we'll have to allow for that. But those were great times. We'll never forget those nights. In one way we're glad they're over, but yet we'll never forget them. But I looked out a photograph today because I remember there was a photograph taken in, I think it was 1968, in a place called Memel Street. That's in Belfast, those that know it. And it was an arch opening. And about 20 or 30 years ago, some ladies were in our house. They used to come to the Macrofell Harvest every year, all the way from Carrickfergus. Used to go to all the praise services. And we dug this picture out and said, "Do you know anybody in that?" And they picked out me. And they picked out Reverend, well, he's now became Reverend Trevor Baxter with his bushy hair. And they looked at the only one was wearing a clerical collar. And they went through different names in our church. I says, no, who is it? I said, "That's the Reverend William McRae." "No, it's not." I said, "Look, that is the Reverend William McRae." "No, it's not. Mr. McRae is good looking." So, they didn't have Specsavers in those days, by the way. But I have the evidence. I have the evidence. But thank God for Mr. McRae. There's so much we could say. But really, I just want to sum up, repeating what I've said. We thank God for the example he has been of passion, of zeal, and love for souls. The verse has already been quoted from Colossians 4 and 7 about Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister. As far as I know, that word Tychicus means fortuitous. And while we don't believe in just fortune in a sense the world talks about it, we can say it's fortuitous that way back in 1967 we got to hear the Reverend McRae sing. And have known us these years, of course, it's the grace of God has enabled, and I speak for many other ministerial colleagues who through sickness are unable to be here tonight, although many ministers are here as I look round, and we thank God in his providence. He has allowed us to know you, William, and we pray that some of the love, Calvary love, and the graciousness that you have and that gift of comforting people and dealing with people, that we will know some of that in our own ministry. The Lord bless you and Mrs. McRae.
Well, we thank our brethren for taking part in this section of the meeting. Now we're going to ask the Calvary Choir to come forward, and they're going to sing for us just now. Since the start of the work here, the Reverend McRae has had groups and choirs formed in the congregation. They sung at many services, taking them with them on praise nights and across the water and whatnot. Now I'm supposed to be talking while you stand up here. I'll ask them to come forward. And we thank the Lord for that, and for that enthusiasm to get people singing, and even a Sunday night around the piano, and we've precious memories of that taking place. And we're going to sing two songs. First one is one that Reverend McRae has sung many times, Till the Storm Passes By. And then one of our personal favourites, Worthy the Lamb. And just then, immediately after the choir sing these two pieces, our brother, Dr. Fred Greenfield, is coming up and to address the congregation. Now, we have to pass on the apologies. Dr. Stanley Barnes would have loved to have been here tonight, and certainly he was planning to be here, but unfortunately at the last minute he couldn't make it, so we pass his apologies on. But immediately after the choir, our brother Greenfield will come and take part.
Thank you. the broken, the prize of the slaves. Is there no one worthy to set us free?
That was really good singing. Sometimes people ask me, you know, Margaret Felt always seemed to have an awful lot of good singers. And I says, I know, Mr. McRae gives them all birdseed. And it keeps them well. I'm timed as well, brother, right? Mr. McKee says, take as long as you want. No, he didn't. But it's hard, isn't it, to try and squeeze 50 years, over 50 years, of friendship and fellowship with my good friend and brother, Reverend William McRae, and his wife Anne and their family. It's hard to squeeze that all into 5 minutes or so. So if I do go over, you'll not worry. The night's young, and sure, we're all getting on a wee bit, and we're at these retirement services, and as the man says, it's great to be here, because when you get to our age, it's great to be anywhere. You know, one of the secrets of our brother McCrae's ministry was that Mr. McCrae was very seldom away from the pulpit here on a Sunday. And sometimes if he was away, I remember having the privilege of being here to preach. But, you know, Brother Sandy was making the announcements in those days. And he would say, good to have Brother Fred with us. Good, yes. But next Sunday, it's our own minister, the Reverend Dr. Robert Thomas William McCrae. I says, a bit of favouritism here, you know, going on. And at my retirement, Mr. McCrae was very gracious, and he spoke, and he had an acrostic on my name, Fred. But I says to myself, if I go with the Reverend Dr. Robert Thomas William McCrae, you'd be retiring, Ryan, if I got through all, that out of here. So it is a real joy to be here and just to say a few things. I met our brother William over 50 years ago that night when Mr. Douglas was clerk of Presbytery and Sandown Road Free Presbyterian Church, and William and I were interviewed and had to preach a trial sermon, and we were there. I know Mr. McCrae is a fearless gospel preacher, but on that night he was shaking and I was shaking, and I had never met William before. He'd never met me, but I'm Fred, I'm William. And it was like that great event that the Holden poured it down. You know, country comes to town, and as Mr. Johnson says, we are from the big city of Belfast, and Mr. McCrae came from the country, and he came in. And from that night on Sandown Road, when we were interviewed and preached our trial sermon, we became firm friends. I say, we were quaking. There's another fellow that night, you know. When Mr. McCrae was in and I was in the back room, I didn't hear but shout or anything. And when I was in, he didn't hear any shouting, but there's another fellow in there. And he preached, and he got great liberty. And he looked down at all the ministers, he says, you'll go to hell in your clerical collars. But William, he's not here, we're still here. We're still in the work 50 years later, hallelujah. But I met Brother William, and we came to know each other, and when started to study in the theological hall, and the classes in those days were held in the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. Now, Dr. Douglas has mentioned about his friendship with the McKnight family and the work at Money Slane. Mr. Douglas gave me preaching engagement in Money Slane, and I only had a motor scooter. And it was about the month of December. And by the time I got from Belfast over the Drumara Hills, the Orange Hall on Money Slane, I got up and I heard, and there was a big fire in the Orange Hall. And I was about halfway through the service before I was able to really get preaching. So I thought I better get a car. And I made fun of my car, you know. I had a three-wheeler car. Because I thought, well, three wheels are better than two, aren't they? And one day my car wouldn't start, and all the students, Mr. McCrae and Dr. Barnes, they all give me a push, but they pushed the back window right into the back seat. You know, and I remember William got a new car. William got a great car, because the bane of my life was I never had cars that would go. They go great mileage because you had to push them. And William got this lovely car. It was a wee two-door car, lovely car, and it was great. And I had to say, William, like, this is Belfast, and be careful of the traffic, you know. And we were sitting talking outside the Puritan Printing Works, and William thought he was at home. Thought he was up the lane. He just swung the door out, and the two-door became a one-door. The door went on down the road. I says, it might only have three wheels, but have two doors in the car. You know, and those were good days, some hard times, difficult times, and I was showing William around, and I thought I didn't want to let the city people down, you know, and I said, here's a fella in from a country, and I was walking along, and we're walking up the Ravenhill Road. There's all the wee fish and chip shop, and it had a great attraction for us at lunchtime when he got out of the classes. And there was a big crate of milk outside the shop. I said, look at that, William. There's a cow's nest. No, that's how you go. And he says, Fred, he had a lovely head of hair. I had a lovely head of hair. But 50 years on the pasture, it does things for you, you know. And William says, where would I get a good haircut? There's a wee barber just across the road from Ravenhill. And I took William over, and the man says, William, do you want your hair cut around the back? He says, no, in the shop like everybody else. we had some good times there. And then, you know, the time came when we were ordained to the ministry. It was a big day in our lives. And I know that recently there, I had the great tent mission here, celebrating the 50 years from that first mission that Mr. Johnston was talking about there. And those were good days. And thank God for days when God was moving. And when you look around at the church here and the Sunday school complex, and not only that, but the congregation, the great number of folk in the church here, that's an eloquent tribute, I believe, to the faithfulness of our brother in the ministry of the Word of God, and to his success under God, as God has blessed him richly down through the years as the pastor and an evangelist and a faithful preacher of the Word of God. You know, sometimes in church work, things happen and when people need a minister, and I heard about one minister, I don't know whether it was William or not, but the woman says, you know, she says, my daddy died. She says, I want you to take his funeral. And the minister says, had he any last words? She says, don't be stupid. My mommy was with him right to the end. And then I heard about a couple, and they're having a wee bit of problem in their marriage, and the man says, oh, Reverend McCrae, will you come up to the house, sort it out? You get asked to do terrible things, Minister. Mr. McCrae says, certainly I'd go up, and he was in the car, and the wee man says, now you sit in the car here, he says, I'll go in and get her started. So it would have been easy to find out who was at fault there, wouldn't it, you know? And we had some times, even the students, going over, I think it was because the airfares were cheap for the students, that every time there was a protest in England, in Canterbury or Buckingham Palace, Brother William and I were on the plane. And it was £11.50 that it would be nowadays to get us over as students, and for senior men it was a lot dearer. But we were over there and got arrested and all sorts of things, and that was all part of it. We thought maybe they'd let us out of the theological hall a bit earlier if we got arrested a time or two. But that didn't. And we had a verse, you know, every June had these exams in the theological hall. And we tried to convince them. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. But the professors wouldn't wear it at all. And we had to sit the exams. And then, of course, in those days, if you come into the Free Presbyterian Church, if you come into the college, and you were single, you had to stay single until you got out. There's one fella, he was singing, when I was single, my pockets would jingle, I wish I was single again. But anyway, we finished in the month of June, and Mr. McCrae and Anne, they were married, and then Jean and I, we were married later on in the month of September. And you know, with all the work and the workload that our brother carried, you think that being a preacher, a pastor, and all the evangelistic meetings that our brother conducted, and as our brother Ron has mentioned, Mr. Douglas has mentioned, our brother's been faithful. And Ron mentioned about the Shankill Road. And I remember one day being with William in a wee funeral parlour up the Shankill Road. And I remember William preaching a powerful gospel message to the men and women who were gathered in, and certainly no one was left in any doubt about life, death, and eternity. and about the need of preparation. But William, in, as it were, his pastoral role and helping people, not only in the church, but helping others in the community, as you know, he started off and he stood for the council. And I remember being up in the council office different times when Jean and I were up visiting with Anne and William, their home. And I'd get down with William down to the council offices. And then he was chairman of the council. And, you know, I heard about a chairman of the council, and he was very, very grieved. There was a report in the paper, and this reporter said half the council members were asleep. And the council chairman, he was raging. He said, what's it him writing that half the council members were asleep? So he demanded an apology. An apology came in the next week and said, half the council members were awake. So I think maybe just, that didn't happen in Macrafelt, you can be sure. But nobody's sleeping on our brother William was the chairman there. And then, of course, he stood for Parliament and was elected. And thank God for his faithfulness on many issues, and we thank God for his faithful stand, not only in preaching the word, but even in public office, and standing for the truth of God's word. But of course, we mentioned tonight about the choirs and the singing, and our brother is a great musician, and he's a very gracious musician. I remember we were having a lunch break and we're in the old Raven Hill Church, and I had only met William a couple of times, and there was a piano there, and I started to play the piano, but I never had a lesson for the piano. I had one or two for the accordion, but never had any for the piano. And telling you, it must have grated on his ears, but he was very gracious. He never said a word, and then he sat down, and I said to myself, in the name of goodness, when's cometh this talent? And he played and he sang. And I've had the privilege, like a brother, Calvin Stripp, of being in many evenings of praise all around the province and over in Scotland and in the north of England and different places with our brother William preaching, singing. And in all those evenings of praise, you know, there's never one of them but the gospel of Christ was preached at the end of those evenings of praise. And thank God for many, many precious souls who were saved and through not only this, the evening of praise, but the word always went forth. As Paul said to Timothy, preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Our brother was definitely in season all the time preaching the word of God. He made many, many records and gospel tapes. I was taking a school assembly one day and I started to talk about gospel tapes, and the children all looked at me. Had to explain to them, it's like a CD, you know. And I remember Mr. McRae and the brother John Castles had a radio program, and he was so glad to get Mr. McRae's new record. And somebody sent in a request. They said, will you play something of the Reverend William McRae for Jimmy and Agnes? They're 25 years married. You know what he played? Wasted Years. Remember that? That's true. Have one out over the radio. And when the John Castles looked out through the window, the engineers, they were falling about laughing. Imagine that. 25 wasted years. Then I remember, you know, there's another record our brother McRae made, and we were all at the week of prayer. And I'll say nothing about the bunk beds, except one time it was so cold that I woke up the boy underneath me. I was shaking in the top bunk. It was very, very cold in the month of January. But remember the Reverend Trevor Baxter, he was sitting at the door, and the place was well filled, the ministers and students. And one of the students came in, and he says to Mr. Baxter, he says, is there Reverend McRae here? And Mr. Baxter says, he's five rows back, I remember it well. Remember that? And so, some of those lovely hymns. But our brother as has been mentioned, he has had an all-round ministry in the pastorate and public life, preaching the word, teaching the gospel and teaching the scriptures and the praise nights and all these things. And we thank God for his faithfulness. And he's now moving on to another chapter. And I moved on to that chapter in the month of March. And the Lord opens up the doors and the Lord leads the one who has been faithful and kept us, provided for us, and met all our needs all down through the years. May he still see him yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. And we trust William and Anne as you enter into this new era of ministry that the Lord will bless you and give you many, many souls for your labour. Now, I have talked about singing, and I don't think we could stop without having a duet from Brother William and myself. And we both play the accordion because it's the only instrument that will be in heaven. The boy says, have you scripture to back that up? Oh, yes, the Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. So there was a hymn that our brother and I, we used to sing it all round the country, because really it's the only one we could sing. And it was called Trials Dark on Every Hand. And my, when we were in the theological hall, we thought we were in trials. And some of the things that happened in churches, and the difficulties, and the problems, and the things that you feel, we thought, my, it's a troublesome time. In fact, we really thought we discovered that prophetic period in the scriptures of the Great Tribulation. And so I'm going to ask William to come up, brother. We'll try and sing this hymn. And if some people had known us 50 years ago, they'd probably just say, you haven't changed a bit.
Trials darken every hand, and we cannot understand all the way that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he's guided us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand better by and by. Things that life demands, want of shelter, want of food, thirsty hills and the barren land. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. Temptation, hidden snares often take us
us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for many a thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best. Yet we understand this better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome.
Thank our Brother Greenfield for those thoughts and words, and for the Reverend McRae and the Reverend Greenfield singing that song once again. And we pray, Lord, we'll bless it to your souls. There are some people who can't be here tonight because of distance, and therefore they sent greetings, and we want to just share some of those greetings with you tonight. First of all, from Clarence and Evelyn Sexton, they say, to my dear friend William McRae, congratulations to you and Anne on 50 years preaching the gospel. The Lord has used you in the building of one of the greatest churches in the world. I praise God for the day he had our paths crossed. Evelyn and I love and appreciate you. We cherish your friendship. Your entire country is more Christ-like because of your ministry. There is much more land yet to be possessed. Praying for you as you stay everlasting at it. All the best from the Temple Baptist Church and the Crown College. We all say congratulations and are praying that the Lord will continue to use you and to accomplish great things for his glory. And then our brother James Zanker and Crown UK, and they send us note, the workers and students of Crown United Kingdom are eternally grateful for the godly influence and encouragement of Dr. William McRae throughout the past 12 years. His faithful gospel preaching and Christ-centered ministry continue to be a pattern for the coming generation of Christian labourers. His love and worship of the Saviour reminds us to stay true to seeking only the glory of God. We are not only thankful for Dr. McRae's spiritual leadership, but for his practical encouragement and support toward ourselves and so many others. We shall never forget the gracious reception and generous support we and the students received at each visit to Muckerfelt Free Presbyterian Church. Our prayer is that the Lord would continue to bless Dr. and Mrs. McRae as they have allowed the Lord to use them to bless all those with whom they have come in contact. And then greetings from Puerto Rico and from Pastor Johnny Daniels. Dear Brother McRae, what a milestone you have reached in this your 50th year of pastoring the same church you started. Very few people have accomplished what you have and remained faithful as a husband, family man, and during your service to the government, where your life was an open book. We acknowledge and celebrate with you, first, your faithfulness to God's calling into the ministry. Second, your faithfulness to the word you were called to preach. Third, your faithfulness to the church God called you to pastor. Fourth, your faithfulness to so many other men God has allowed to meet you, and the influence you have had on so many preachers, which God has placed you to be an example to. I thank God for allowing my path to meet you and Anne. Barbara and I want to congratulate you both for your friendship and example. Also, thank you for coming to Puerto Rico and ministering to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle and our people. We also thank you for helping this ministry with guidance after Hurricane Maria and for the generous love offering sent. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you sincerely in Christ, Johnny and Barbara. Dearest friends at Calvary, although separated by a vast ocean, our hearts are rejoicing with you in praise and thanksgiving unto God for the privilege of friendship and fellowship in the gospel with Pastor and Mrs. McRae in Calvary Free Presbyterian Church. Congratulations to our brother and sister in Christ, their family, and all the blessed congregation of believers in your fine assembly on celebrating 50 years of ministry to your community, country, and to the world. The testimony of faith and faithfulness demonstrated by Dr. and Mrs. McCrae has and continues to inspire multitudes to come to Christ for salvation and to seek to know and serve Christ with their lives. My wife Diane and I can attest to this witness personally. Thank you for allowing us the honour of drawing near to you. Our prayer is that our Father in heaven will give many years of good health and abundant blessings to the McCraes as they step into this next phase of ministry. We also congratulate the church there in Ulster and the selection of Reverend McKee to serve as a shepherd of Christ's flock. Your future is bright as the promises of God's blessings are certain. Best wishes in Christ, Dr. Paul Kingsbury, and your companions in ministry at North Love Baptist Church and Reformers Unanimous Addictions Recovery. Our brother, Reverend Trevor Baxter, would have loved to have been here tonight, but because of ministerial responsibilities, he can't be, so he sends this short note. Sorry, I can't be there tonight. I have known William for close on 50 years. When he first came to Belfast, I was often with him in his escapades. On one occasion, driving home in his Hillman Imp car, a bundle of junk if there ever was one, the throttle cable broke and I drove in full accelerator through Belfast. One other time, William drove from Monaghan to Mid-Tyrone at breakneck speed with me as a passenger, a drive that greatly improved my prayer life. He even managed to take off his coat as we flew along a narrow country road. Mr. McCrae has had a wonderful life as a politician, as a gospel singer, and much more. But to me, his greatest gift is as a preacher of the gospel. His passion and love for the souls of men is very evident in his preaching. I don't know of a gospel preacher better at this task than him. God bless you, my brother, and your wife and family. May you have a long time to do what you do best, preaching Christ. Your brother in Christ, Trevor, Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. I've also a card here from Orlando Free Presbyterian Church, and I'll just read out from the minister there, Reverend McCrae. We praise the Lord in your ministry all these years, ever since going to Northern Ireland with Crown College. Your ministry has been a great encouragement to me. May the Lord bless you, and may the next chapter be even more precious than the previous. And that's from Peter, and then many messages from the congregation there, so we'll pass that on. And then finally, our brother, Pastor Ian Loughran, and he would have loved to have been here tonight, but just couldn't be here. And we want to just bring greetings from him there in Ben Har Evangelical Church. And of course, for those who don't know, our brother was a member of this congregation before the Lord called him into full-time service. Dear Reverend McKee, on behalf of the session and members of Ben Har Evangelical Church, let me express our best wishes to the Reverend Dr. William McCrae on his retirement from the pastorate of Calvary Free Presbyterian Church. We are very grateful for the ministry we have received from Dr. McCrae over the past 7 years. We have been richly blessed by his preaching of the Scriptures and praising of the Saviour. His ministry to your congregation will be greatly missed by members of my congregation who have regularly listened to him on the internet. On a personal note, let me express my sincere appreciation for the ministry I received from Dr. McCrae while I was one of his flock. It is a well of benefit and blessing for which I continue to draw. The men who have went out from this church to pastor other churches have an excellent example to follow. Dr. McCrae's preaching is an example to us. His preaching is both expository and applied. Never did I hear an exposition of Scripture without an application to the hearer. His passion is an example to us. He was passionate about the pastorate. He was full of energy and enthusiasm for the work or for the church and its works. He was also passionate about people and their souls' need of salvation. He is an evangelist, and his evangelistic fervor is infectious. Largely because of this, your church is a church that places a great emphasis on evangelism. Dr. McCrae's pastoral care is an example to us. How often he travelled long distances and stayed up through the night to help a soul in need. Dr. McCrae's perseverance is an example to us. He didn't give up in dark days. He didn't give up in troubled times. He persevered on to the end. Dr. McCrae's positivity is an example to us. How often a negative conversation was brought to an immediate end with his words, "Hallelujah anyway, God's on the throne." Much more could be said about the influence and impact of Dr. McCrae's ministry on my life and on the excellent example he has set for ministers like me to follow. But I must leave it there. Reverend William McCrae's pastorate has come to an end, but his pastoral ministry continues in every church where there is a pastor whom he has had the privilege of having him as their pastor. Brother McCrae, thank you. Yours, because of Calvary, the Reverend Ian Loughran, minister of Ben Har Evangelical Church. And we bring those greetings from those brethren. Many of them are watching tonight, and we welcome them and others who are watching online. We also want to welcome everyone here to the service, and we know it's touched Mr. Reverend McCrae and Mrs. McCrae to see so many of their friends and family joining them tonight in this meeting, and we know it will be a special time held in their memory in future days. We want at this point just to make two announcements, and then we're going to sing our next hymn. This weekend is a special weekend for us in Muckfelch. It is our harvest weekend, and you may have received one of those leaflets coming in. And if you're free over that weekend, you're very welcome to join us for those services on Saturday at 7:30, Sunday 12 noon at 7 p.m. and Monday night at 8 p.m. And we certainly would appreciate those who would come and attend. Also, it is our 50th anniversary, and as part of that, a book has been produced and just very recently released. It's £10. It tells the history of Muckfelch Free Presbyterian Church from the mission that started in the tent just in this field right until the mission that concluded just a few weeks ago in this field and everything in between. It's a very interesting book. There's lots of information in it, lots of pictures, and it's a very worthwhile read. Now, if you'd be interested in looking at it, when you're going over to the complex afterwards for supper, just out in the hallway out there, there'll be some of those books available, and there'll be Breller in there to show you how you can pay for those. You can take them with you tonight and pay for them, but you're very welcome to see those tonight. There is supper after the meeting, and if you can stay with us, you're very welcome to do so. Our brother and sister are going to be going to the door to greet you as you come through for supper after the service, and we would ask each one to stay if you possibly can, enjoy a time of fellowship around a cup of tea. At this point in our service, we are going to stand to worship the Lord with our next hymn, and during this hymn, we're going to ask our moderator, the Reverend Gordon Dean, to come up. And immediately after this hymn, our brother is going to bring God's word as the Lord has laid it upon his heart. Let's stand and worship the Lord, this beautiful hymn, "Loved with Everlasting Love." Let's stand and worship the Lord.
Oh,
We do count it a joy to be here tonight and to take part in this service. We, as a presbytery, would do honour to our brother. We thank the Lord for the talents and the blessing that he has been to our denomination. I was thinking that there is hardly a special service or anniversary that our brother, the Reverend McCrae, has not taken part in. And his name has been integral with our denomination down through the years, and we do thank God for him. He's retired from the pastorate here in Maharathelt, but you never really retire from the ministry. And I know that God will use our brother, and we do wish our brother and Mrs. McCrae God's richest blessing in the incoming days, and we look forward to hearing of the ways that God will use them and bless them as he continues to minister for his Saviour in these days. Now, I wonder if we could turn to the passage of Scripture that the Reverend Stephen McCrae read earlier on in Matthew chapter 25. I don't think you have to guess my text. It is stated a couple of times in that portion of Scripture that was read, "Well done, good and faithful servant." With our Bibles open before us, let's just unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we turn to thee in our Saviour's name afresh tonight. And O God, we thank thee for thy blessing already. We thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for the messages and song. We thank thee for the tributes that have been made. And our God, we come to give thee all the praise and the honour and the glory. We recognise that we serve a mighty God today. We thank thee for the gospel that we have to proclaim. We thank thee it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst bless as we come to the end of our meeting tonight, or as we open up the word of God. We'd ask thee that thy power might be demonstrated, that thou wouldst come in help and with anointing and with grace tonight, and that thy word might have free course and be glorified. Draw near to us, we'd pray, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Well, I do count it a privilege to speak at this retirement service for Brother Reverend William McCrae. It's traditional at a retirement service to speak about the person that is retiring. But I hardly feel the need to do that tonight because our brother is well known right around the province. There's nobody in Ulster that does not know the name of the Reverend William McCrae. And further afield indeed, as we've heard from the greetings that have come this evening. And there's one thing I would say about Mr. McCrae, and that is that he has led an interesting life. He has been a preacher, a pastor, a politician. He was even a prisoner for a while. And now he's a peer of the realm. And added to that is the great ministry of a gospel singer. Now, I tried to get a P for that, praiser or something like that, but singer will do tonight. We thank God for the many abilities that our brother has been given. And as I say, he's been an immense, valuable contribution to our denomination. He was accepted in the Theological Hall 51 years ago, February 1967. And such was the shortage of preachers in that day that he almost immediately was thrust into the work. First, he was designated as Dr. Paisley's assistant minister in those days. And then in Tandragee in October 1967, he was placed in charge of the Sandown Road congregation. And then on the 21st of July 1968, he held his first gospel mission here on Mullaghboy Hill and was doing other missions as well, collapsed with the
strain and all the work that was being done. I had to take a little time out, but in June 1969, he came as the student minister in charge here in Maharafelt. And it's been mentioned tonight about the wonderful privilege of an unbroken ministry from that time. There's not many that get 50 years in one congregation. I have early memories of coming to Mullaghboy Hill when we were in the Young People's Fellowship in Enniskillen, and to see the not only growing congregation but the growing building as well, as addition was put on at different times. And our brother has made an impact upon many. There are those of you here tonight, and all of you, I'm sure, could testify to the impact that our brother has had upon you. I thank God for our brother's impact upon my ministry. Way back in my days in Auchnacloy, I invited the Reverend McCrae to come and do a harvest, I think it was. But he had, I think it was to Canada maybe that he was going, but certainly overseas somewhere that he had to go. But he rung up later on and he said, you know, I feel that the Lord would have me come and speak in Auchnacloy. So we arranged another meeting and our brother came and spoke in Auchnacloy. And he spoke on that text in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And that was my call to Corrigarry. And I went very reluctantly, I can tell you, down to Corrigarry. But the Lord gave us 12 blessed years of ministry down there. And there are many of you here tonight who would join in with the words of our text and say, well done, good and faithful servant. When you think of the context here, you know the parable how that a master goes into a far country and he gives the talents to his servants and he's expecting them to make something of the talents. And two of them do something with the talents that they are given and they receive the blessing, they receive the well done of the master when he comes back. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And thank God tonight that we can say that of our brother tonight. He has been faithful to the Lord. And just for a few minutes tonight, I want us to think about the good and faithful servant. And I want you to think about the calling of the good and faithful servant here. It says here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And the men who were in the master's service here and were in the labour of the Saviour, really, were called men. And I'm glad that God called our brother into his service and into our denomination. We thank God for the call that he has received. And we're glad tonight, thank God for a denomination where we have men who are, have been called, who have been saved by the grace of God, first of all, have a burden to go and carry the message of the Saviour. And what a tragedy it is in this day and generation that we have many pulpits in our land where not only are the men not called, they're not called because they're not saved by the grace of God. They've never come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And I want you to see here that they are called. They are called to be servants. And the word servant there in the text really speaks about a slave. We are to do the Lord's bidding. You know, Paul delighted that he was a slave of Christ. He wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. And he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And he was delighted about that. And we're delighted tonight, those of us who are in the ministry, we're delighted that the Lord has made us his servants. And we are delighted because we have the call of a great master. Thank God we are serving the risen Saviour tonight. Our brother Lindsay, I think it was, the Reverend Wilson, spoke about the fact that our brother has this great desire, this passion, this fervour, because he serves the risen Christ. And dear friend, we thank God that we serve this Saviour, because he is called Jesus, because he came to save his people from their sin. He is a merciful Saviour. He's a gracious Master. He is one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, thank God tonight that our brother tonight has preached the gospel. He has laboured as an MP, as an MLA, and so on and so forth. But his love is to preach Christ and him crucified. Oh, thank God tonight for the blessed Master that we serve. But not only are we called to a great Master, we're called to a great mission. The men in the parable were called to do something important. And we never lose sight of the fact that in the ministry, we are labouring with eternal consequences in view. Thank God there are many important things that people need to do. There are many vital roles that people engage in their lives. There are people that look after welfare of people. There are people that are in medicine. There are people that are in the services. And all those things are important. But you know, those that are in the ministry, we're labouring with eternity in view. C.H. Spurgeon once said that if the Lord calls you to be a preacher, do not stoop to be a king. And you know, there are many pressing needs in this world. But there's a pressing need for your soul. There's a pressing need for your eternity. There's a pressing need, dear friend, for your life. And that's what we labour. We have a great mission. You know, you can look to many things. The Lord says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then we have a call to a great message. These servants were to use their talents, and the Lord's servants in this day use our talents to preach the glorious gospel of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. And let me tell you, through the message of the gospel, though people count it as foolishness, it's the only effective message. It's the only message that works in the hearts of men and women. It's the only thing that will give you the answer to your eternal welfare. And you know, I'm sure there are many people here. Maybe there are those here tonight. And you've sat under our brother's ministry down through the years. And you've heard the gospel preached. But tonight you're still not saved. Well, I want to tell you that this is an effective message. Our brother will be able to tell you about drunkards that have been changed. He'll be able to tell you that under his ministry there have been drug addicts that have been delivered. People that are under the bondage of sin. And thank God the chains have been broken. Oh, what a glorious thing it is to be able to preach the gospel in these days. And you know, dear friend, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And I want you to think about the calling of the good and faithful servant. He's called to serve a good master. He's called with a great mission, with a great message. And dear friend, that's the message that our brother has sought to preach down through the years. But not only do I want you to think about the call, of the good and faithful servant. I want you to think about the character of the good and faithful servant. He's called here good and faithful. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said to Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." And the servant is commended here because he's good and faithful. And he's good and faithful because he served. Because he did the work. Because he entered into the labour. And it says in the parable that the master delivered his goods to the servant. And he trusted the servant. And he gave the servant the high privilege of having those talents, having those abilities, having that anointing. But they had to go out and work hard. And one of the things that you've heard about the Lord's servant here tonight is that he has worked hard. He has discharged the many roles that God has given him. And he has had all these abilities that we've heard about tonight. But you know, we need to work, for the night cometh when no man can work. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. And our brother's been conscious of that. I wonder if you, have you been putting in the effort? What will your life amount to in the end? In John 9 and 4, we read how it says, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 16, redeeming the day, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil, dear friend. And we need to redeem the time. We need to be up and doing. And we need to go. And here was the Lord, and he spoke about his service here and about the service that he had. But not only do we think about his service, but think about his stewardship. Now, the job of the steward here, he was a steward. The stewardship job, as the dictionary defines it, is the job or the responsibility of taking care of something. And the Lord has put the pastored here down through the years into the hands of our brother, and he's taking care of it. Now all we've got to do is look around us tonight, look at the buildings, look at the people, and I know that our brother would be the first to say it's not him, it's the Lord. But he has worked hard, and the Lord has blessed, and the Lord has blessed. You think of what it says in Matthew 25, verses 16 and 7. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received the 2, he also gained 2. And the Lord was pleased, the master was pleased, because he had increased the things that had been given into his hands." You know, on the other hand, we read of the man that wasted the talents. Dear friend, are you letting your talents go to waste? Some of you are not saved tonight. You could be used in God's service. Some of you are saved, but you're not doing anything. You're doing very little. There was a man here that wasted his talents. What are you doing for Christ tonight? Not only do we see his service and his stewardship, but we think about his shrewdness. Because the two men that had the well done, they showed their business acumen. They showed their wisdom. They showed their shrewdness. And you know, the servant of the Lord has to have wisdom in these days. We live in days of darkness and days when the world seems to be turning upside down. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels and principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And dear friend, if you think we're not wrestling against spiritual darkness, then think again. That darkness is all too evident in our world. That spirit of Antichrist, that's all around us in this world. God, we need the wisdom of God. We need the direction of God. We need that heaven-given wisdom. But there's something else about the good and faithful servant as we look at the characteristics. He's not only good, but he's faithful. There's steadfastness, stickability. Our brother has stuck by this congregation for 50 years. I don't know whether he is the one that's sticking it or whether you have been the ones that are sticking it. But nevertheless, God has made him steadfast. And he has stood the test and stood the ground. The Lord, Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes when things are hard and difficult, sometimes we think that it's in vain. But you know, the Lord says no, it's not in vain. And God takes note of those things that you've done for him. And you know what he says? Not even a cup of water that's given in his name will lose its reward. Our brother's been steadfast. There are many times I'm sure he was tired and weary and discouraged. But he was in the Lord's service. And he was in the Lord's labour. And he's laboring for souls and for the love of you and with a passion for men and women. And that is what he was laboring for. Well, one more thing I want you to see. Not only do we see the call of the good and faithful servant and the character of the good and faithful servant, but look at the commendation of the good and faithful servant. The master comes at the end and he says, well done, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Brother McRae, I want to say there are many here in this congregation this evening, and they will come to you and they will say, well done. Well done. The presbytery of our church certainly will commend you for the years of faithful labour. And we're looking for many more years of faithful labour. But we think of the missions, many of our congregations, meetings all over the province, special meetings. And our presbytery would say, well done, good and faithful servant. There are those of you our brother has helped. There are those of you that he's encouraged when you are down. There are those of you that have grown in grace under our brother's ministry, and we've heard about his teaching ministry tonight. And you've learned. Maybe there was a time when our brother had to rebuke you, but you learned from that. And you're built up in your most holy faith, and you say, you can join with us tonight. You say, well done, good and faithful servant. There are those of you that were in grief. There are those our brother sat beside when a loved one was dying or in serious illness and prayed for them, prayed with them, prayed with you. And you're here tonight and you're able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And there are those that have been led to Christ. There are those here and all over the province and all over the world that our brother and the Lord has used as a means of bringing to Christ. Many gospel services, and you maybe tonight in your mind's eye go back to that meeting, go back to that place, and you heard our brother preaching the word of God, and God was speaking to you. And you came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And tonight you say to our brother, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm sure there are many folks in many walks of life tonight who would say the same. But you know this, at the end of the day, it's not my well done, the presbytery's well done, or your well done, that our brother's looking for. The thing that we want is the well done of Christ. We want his commendation. We want the commendation that comes from on high. And dear friend, we think of that commendation, its origin, it's from God, the God who knows all things. And you know, I like some of, when you read about some of the kings of Israel and Judah. And we're told about their faults, and we all have faults. But the Lord gives the summary. He walked in the ways of the Lord and did that which was right. The Lord is gracious. We think of the objectivity of his well done, because he gives as much well done to the servant that got the 2 talents as the servant that got the 5. We have different talents. We have different abilities. But thank God the Lord still gives the well done. And then the outworking of it. We want to finish well, don't we? Unfortunately, for some people, finishing well gets translated into some vague wish that God will say something nice about them in eternity. But they don't dare to make the phrase the purpose of their lives. It's often been said, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. What are you aiming at? What is the aim of your life? You know, there's a story told about a famous violinist who was to perform at a concert hall of world renowned, and he stood before the packed house and played his violin and mesmerized the audience with his prowess, with his skill. And he drew the bow across the strings for the final note, and the audience rose in acclamation. And he went off, and they called for an encore, and he came back on. And again he played, as if his life depended upon it. And again the audience rose in acclamation. And he came on again, and this happened 7 times. And afterwards, some of the people in the press came to him and they said, why did you come on 7 times? You know, if you'd have come on for an encore once or twice, that would have done. But you came on 7 times. Why did you do that? And the violinist said that for the first time, the master that taught me how to play was in the audience. And when the audience rose in acclamation, he sat in his seat. And the second time that I came on, he still sat in his seat. And until the 7th time, and when I played the 7th time, the master arose in acclaim. He said, that's the thing that I wanted. That's the thing that I was aiming for. He wanted the well done of the master. So do I. So do I. But remember, dear friend, that there's another man in this parable that does not get the well done. We read in verses 26 to 30, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put thy money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents, For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And dear friend, what would it be to stand with the unprofitable servant? To have a life that counts for nothing. And you could have all the treasures of this world and a big house and a big car. But if you don't have the well done of Christ, you have nothing. Dear friend, at the end of the day, you make sure you have the well done, thou good and faithful servant. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.
Thank our brother for that message to our heart from God's word, and we pray the Lord will even speak on while the voice of man has fallen silent. At this point in your service, we're going to invite Reverend McRae to come to the pulpit to, first of all, the piano and then to the pulpit.
Tomorrow is uncertain, as the day was yesterday. We're granted full assurance as we kneel down and pray. Our our Heavenly Father knows the future and the past. He'll see us through whatever comes. We only have to ask. If the days are filled with sunshine, or if they're dark and cold, as long as I have Jesus, I can face tomorrow. Tomorrow's one day closer to heaven's perfect plan. And it's good to know that while we wait, He holds us in His hands. No matter is too great, no measure is too small, He knows our need, our souls He'll feed if on His name we call. If the days are filled with sunshine, or if they're dark and cold, as long as I have Jesus, I can face tomorrow. If the days are filled with sunshine, or if they're dark and cold, as long as I have Jesus, I can face tomorrow. As long as I have Jesus, I can face tomorrow. Simply tonight
we want to just say just a few words, and I thank you for your patience already in the service. The service marks the final farewell to the congregation here in Macrophelt. For the past 50 years, I've earnestly sought to be a shepherd to the flock, having loved and cared for you. And I must leave. Looking back over those years, very simply, I thank you for the journey. I want to place on record my deep appreciation to the elders of this congregation for their faithful support and their love that has been shown to Anne and I over 50 years. Our brother Sandy Lennox, brother Barry Stewart, James Clemens, David King, James Gregg, Rodney Mitchell, and Stephen Johnson. As elders, coming in a different time of that 50 years, you have been a tower of strength to me, and I am a great debt of gratitude to you all. To the various committees that have served along with me, I want to thank you for the vital part that you played in the development of the work in Macrophelt, establishing a suite of church buildings second to none and free of debt. However, we all know it's not always easy to be right. to make the right decisions. I'm reminded of a city preacher who went to a country congregation. He's visiting one of the farmers in the congregation, and he asked the farmer, "How come that cow doesn't seem to have horns? I thought all cows had horns." "Well," said the farmer, "there's some cows that don't have horns because they were born without horns. There are other cows that we have to take the horns off them." But he said the reason that that particular cow over there doesn't have horns is simple. That cow's a horse. You see, sometimes we get it wrong. But I thank God for the patience of the congregation, the elders, the committee, and you, the congregation of this church, that have shown such love and patience to me and to my wife and family over the years. The Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the church at Philippi, was already quoted. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And I can honestly say an amen to that word that Paul said for this congregation. To all the leaders of the works of the various departments of the church, to all those that labored in any way, perhaps the most simple, I want to think of those that did the recordings, those that drove the buses, brought the little children in to all of those meetings, whether to be the seniors, whether it was to the parents and toddlers, whether it was to be the youth, various departments of the church. You all played your part. And under God, we did it together. So, Rev. McKee, I pray that the Lord richly bless you as you seek and endeavor before God to move this congregation forward while continuing to maintain that strong separatist stand that this denomination and this congregation has taken since its beginning and over the years. When the church building was open many years ago, 40 years ago, I put up in the minister's room a little plaque. I have it here. I just took it down tonight, but I'm not taking it, because I want to hand it over to you, brother. It's the preacher's prayer. "I do not ask that crowds may throng the temple, a standing room be priced. I only ask that as I voice the message, they may see Christ. I do not ask for churchly pomp or pageant, or music such as wealth alone can buy. I only ask that as I voice the message, he may be nigh. I do not ask that men may shout my praises, or headlines spread my name abroad. I only pray that as I voice the message, hearts may find God. I do not ask for earthly place or laurels, or of this world's distinction any part. I only ask, when I have voiced the message, my Savior's heart. I hand that to you, brother. And I say to you, Brother McKee, make that your prayer. And may God help you to always remember, it's not the messenger, it's the message. And we have only one message, and that's Christ. I thank God for the day he saved me. I thank God for his hand upon me and preserving to this night. There's one verse I leave with this congregation. Turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And let the God of love, the God of love and peace, shall be with you. That's my earnest prayer. And God grant that when the trumpet sounds, and when the people of God gather on the other shore, that everyone that sat under my ministry will be there, saved by the sovereign grace of God. Somebody asked me, what is it like to be retired? I said, you mean fresh tires for a new journey. And that's it, brethren and sisters. I wait for the Master's orders for the next part of the journey. I love you. God bless you.
At this part of our service, we are going to sing our final hymn, but immediately after that, we have a few presentations to make. So we'll sing this hymn now, we'll stand to worship the Lord, and then immediately after that, we'll ask our brother to come straight up to the pulpit to make this presentation. Hymn 390, Dear Saviour, Thou art mine, how sweet the thought to me. Stand and sing.
this part of the service, I would like to ask Reverend McCrae and Mrs. McCrae to come to the pulpit, please, at this part of the service. And would Mrs. McKee come, please, as well? Reverend McCrae. The order of service is a service of thanksgiving. And on the 14th of October, I said, where has life gone to? And how fast has it traveled? And I give you a copy of the scriptures, and the scriptures always give an answer, and the answer I got in Job, and there also is one in James as well, but Job, my days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle. And we think of the shuttle on the weaver's web, it travels like the speed of lightning between the threads. And your life, and Mrs. McCrae, your lives have just travelled so swiftly since first we met many years ago. And also in James it says, we know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapour. It appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. So that's what life is. But Mr. McCrae and Mrs. McCrae, it has been appointed that I would say a few words in your final meeting with us. Not your final meeting. You could be back again many times to preach with us. And don't take that as I have said it. But on this night of Thanksgiving, Mr. McCrae, I want to say on behalf of the session and the committee, I want to thank you for your leadership and for the joyous times that we had in committee meetings. Now, you were an expert in chairing meetings, and I'm good to say that. I took the minutes, but I dropped my head many a time and I said, this man is so clever. And he got the committee all together, and many in those early days, we had some great crack. That's just an old Irish word, or an old Ulster word, I should say that. I shouldn't go with that Irish, but it'll tackle me afterwards. So Mr. McCrae and Mrs. McCrae, we often thought many times you must have been a lonely woman, although you had the family around you. But he was so much in the Lord's work, and he was doing the Lord's work. And Mrs. McCrae, we thank you for, as David said, for the helpmate that you've been to our brother. So Mr. McCrae, on behalf of the session and the committee of the congregation, I want you to accept this as a love gift and appreciation. And I'm not going to say, but the rich have many friends. God bless you. And Ms. McKee.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Just simply on behalf of Anne and I, once again, Father Barry and Hannah, thank you very much indeed to the committee and the eldership of this congregation. I said all I need to say. I deeply appreciate your love and your support. And now I want the work of God to go on and to go forward. Clear more ground. That to me will be the great reward. To see God's work progress. May God bless you. God bless the elders' committee. And the congregation. The greatest people on earth.
Just one final presentation to make, and thank you, as I said before, for the privilege of the last 7 years, and not many people get a 7-year apprenticeship before they come into a church, but I have, so, and somebody told me this week, one of the most blessed preachers to have been under that, so thank you very much for that. Now, certainly, on behalf of this congregation, I want to present you with this, and I'm going to read it out first of all before I do so. It says, the congregation of Calvary Free Presbyterian Church, in recognition of his faithful ministry and pastoral leadership of this congregation from July 1968 until October 2018, hereby bestows upon Dr. William McRae the honorary title of Minister Emeritus, conferred by this Kirk session this first day of November 2018. It gives me great pleasure to do this. We've won one final, I promise you're going to get your supper, okay? You sat this long, don't be going without your supper. Now, we have one final presentation to make, and then immediately after that, our brother Maxwell, we're glad to have Pastor Maxwell with us tonight, is going to come to the pulpit after this presentation, but it's going to take place out in the hallway, and the reason for that is our session, our committee, wanted a permanent tribute to the Reverend McRae, and there is a plaque out in the hallway that we would like you, brother, and your wife, our moderator, and our elders just to go out at this moment to unveil this plaque, and then immediately after that our brother Maxwell is going to come up. So we've asked the elders just to go out immediately to the hallway, and we will unveil this plaque.
What's behind this, but I'm asked for to just pull this curtain, so we'll pull the curtain to see if the earth falls in.
This stone was erected by Muckerfeld Free Presbyterian Church in recognition of 50 years faithful gospel ministry by Reverend Dr. R.T. William McRae, Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2, 1st of November 2018. Right, brother, if you want to come over, just. Some of our ladies are just going to leave at this point to make sure there's food whenever we have our closing prayer. So if they want to go on now, but we'll ask our brother, Pastor Victor Maxwell, to come and just bring our meeting to a close, please.
Well, what a wonderful night it has been. Certainly a benediction and a great climax to the ministry of the Reverend William McCrae. And for many years, Audrey and I have been associated and friends with this family, not only here, but all around the world. And we just thank God for your ministry and be assured of our prayers for the ongoing days. Let's still our hearts before the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, this evening, from the depths of our heart, we say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We thank thee that every good and perfect gift comes down from thee, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We thank thee for the gift of thy love and the gift of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the merits of his atoning blood and the great plan of redemption that came from the heart of God. We thank you for this night, this evening. We thank you, our Father, for your servant. Truly, we have been witnessing the testimony of a man approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, preaching the word, doing the work of an evangelist. And our Father, for this we give you thanks. We pray that the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it may remain upon him and his family at this time. Our Father, we ask of thee that you will guide for the days ahead and continue to bless the ministry of our brother Dr. McCrae. We ask of thee that for the ongoing days the help of heaven may be upon him, the unction and power of the Holy Spirit be upon the preaching of his word. Bless the family tonight. We pray for each member of the family, for the grandchildren. God grant that in the 10 years of life, they also may come to the Savior. Our Father, do bless also the ongoing work of this church, its work and testimony in this community. And our Father, we ask of thee that this house may continue to be the birthplace of many precious souls. We pray that you'll bless the Reverend McKee here this evening and his wife Hannah. Our Lord, we ask of thee that you will not only equip them, but use them as mighty instruments in the hand of God, bringing glory to your sacred name. Now, Father, at this hour tonight, we say your love in times past forbids us to think you leave us at last in trouble to seek. Each sweet Ebenezer we have in review confirms the sweet promise you'll help us quite through. We thank you for the good things prepared for us. We pray that you will bless them to us. The hands have prepared them to our use. And now, Father, we say from the depths of our heart tonight, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen and amen.
Well, we've come to the end of this special evening. We invite our brother and our sister to go over there to the piano, and certainly they would like to greet you as you come through for supper or as you have to leave tonight. Thank you for coming. We pray God will bless you in the days that lie ahead. Amen.